You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network.
Welcome to the Two Old Dolphins Podcast, a proud member of the Dolphin Talk Podcast Network. The show is hosted by Alex Symes and me, Scott Quiggle. Hello and welcome to Victory Monday. Alex, how are you doing today?
I'm doing really, really well. All considering.
So Alex and I actually physically watched yesterday's Rams game together for the first time this year.
First time in a long time that we've been together. That's really great. It was really fun.
Yeah, the last time we were really in the same space for any duration at all was your Super Bowl party.
Yeah, that's, It was really fun to get together and all the expectation of what was going to happen and hell of a game. A lot of the things that we need to talk about.
Yeah, I think one of the things that we talked about was doing the podcast together physically, which we have not done in since last year.
A long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I yelled myself a little bit hoarse yesterday, and my voice is still not perfectly recovered from some of that yelling. So
it was super nice to see the strangest game I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, you know? The first half was yelling. The second half was a snore fest, kind of. So.
Yeah, yes, that's pretty much what happened. And it's been kind of like the trend that this team has. You know, we do really well in the first half and kind of take the foot off the pedal and cruise control it in the second half.
Yeah, game control, clock control, mm-hmm. conservative, don't, you know, hand the game back to them type of coaching and mm-hmm. scheme, I guess. So I don't think it's a championship way of playing, but... You know, you see a lot of defensive-minded coaches sort of get that way. If they can get an early lead, then often they fall into conservative mode, especially when they don't trust their offense. And honestly, based on what I've seen this year and even more so in this particular game, I don't trust my offense either. But let's not start out with negative. Let's start out with the amazing amount of positives that came out of this game. One of the first things I want to say is that this is actually exceeding my expectations for the defense in the sense that in the offseason, I saw the defense that was being put together and I had fairly high expectations for it. Like, our strength this year is likely to be our defense. The one thing that we were worried about was pass rush. And we have a pass rush, and it's generated by scheme as much as it is by individual performance.
Yeah, it's really a credit to Flores and bringing in that everything he learned at the Patriots of taking the best weapon away from the other team and dictating the pace of the game, disguising the blitzing. It was great to see the defense, and it should be noted we are the number one defense point per game average in the NFL, 18.6. The
number one, baby.
Number one.
Number one.
Now, Flores was pretty cool on that. He actually, when they told him that, he said, well, statistics, again, he's not a statistics, like the old saying says, statistics are for losers. But he was concerned about the yardage, which yesterday the disparity was unreal. We almost gave up 500 yards.
It's almost impossible to imagine, if you look at the stat line of yesterday's game, that not only we won, but we dominated. Because they dominated in every category, of course, other than defense.
Including the turnover one.
Yeah.
You know, when we discussed this game and looking we didn't do the podcast, but one of the things the first note I had was we need to win the turnover battle. That's everybody says that, but in this particular game, to me, it was paramount. I'd never imagined that we were going to get four turnovers in the first half, but I needed Tua not to create turnovers.
Exactly,
and right off the bat, he created one.
Yep.
Right off the bat, Donald got to him. And actually, I think that was a good thing to get those jitters out of the way. Here it is. That's the worst case scenario. Now let's start moving forward. We got four turnovers in the first half. And those four turnovers became, three of them became touchdowns pretty fast.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know?
Yeah. Our offense basically did nothing except for score when it was handed to them.
Yeah, we couldn't run the ball. We couldn't pass the ball. We had 145 total yards. The discrepancy is crazy. Total amount of plays is beyond anything I've ever seen. They doubled it. They basically ran. And, we talk about plays because I like a team that runs a lot of plays like our next opponent does, by the way.
Right.
But they ran 95 plays. That's like two games.
That's unreal. Yeah. I mean, normally you see it in the 40s. Right?
50s, 60s, 40s, depending. I like to see it in the high 50s, 60s.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, when you look at this, when you look at how many plays we ran, total plays, we ran 48 plays. And they ran 92. It was actually the exact number.
So yardage is lopsided. Mm-hmm. Number of plays, time of possession, totally lopsided.
Yeah, the first downs. Every single aspect except one, the most important one.
Scoreboard, baby.
The scoreboard. that's where we dominated. And it really wasn't in doubt. Late in the game, the announcer was saying it was Jonathan Vilma, who is a Miami native, a UM superstar, national champion, a guy that, actually, I have pictures of him throwing footballs with my son.
Right. You had higher expectations from him and his intelligence. You were
because
a couple of times during that game was like, can we turn the volume off?
the guy graduated with a 4.0. He was a great student in high school and in college.
Some pretty stupid things during that
he
game.
He said we were head scratching, yeah. Especially the one in the interception. Almost interception.
Yeah, the one Van Ginkle
dropped.
There. Yeah,
yeah, he didn't drop. It was they hit it out of his hands.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, it was a hell of a lucky play, whatever it was. Good play by the defense.
Mm-hmm.
But he definitely wasn't nervous. I'm sure if you ask him, he'd say, "What cost that interception not to happen? It wasn't his nerves."
Yeah.
But anyway, the game. Listen, I was impressed with our offensive line. A couple of things that stuck out, and I looked at the Pro Football Focus rating of our team and our offensive line. We gave up one sack by Flowers, who's been one of our best offensive linemen.
Right.
Hunt gave up one hit. Solomon Kinsley gave up one pressure. And Karras and Davis gave up no sacks. I mean, that's a hell of an effort by that offensive line against one of the better defenses in the NFL.
Especially pass rush. Especially, Floyd is very good, but Darnold.
It was a small body of work. Tua barely passed the ball in today's world. In the old days, that would have been a big game for Greasy.
Mm-hmm.
But two old Dolphins, we got to go back in time once in a while and at least look at some of our great quarterbacks. But 22 passes, what was it, four drops?
Yeah.
I mean, that seems pretty bad.
Yeah, it felt like Williams was dropping all of them. He's been... I couldn't have been more wrong at picking the player I expected to step out this year.
Yeah, well, mine was Gesicki, so I don't know if it's just scheme or what it is. But before we move from our offensive line, Austin Jackson is about to come off of IR. So we could potentially have three rookie linemen starting and a rookie quarterback. And I mean, that's pretty scary and exciting at the same time.
Totally agree. But it's such a good thing to know that they're playing well enough and improvement is happening and growth is happening and scheme is happening, and all of these things we see improving pretty much from week to week.
Yes.
And I certainly expect the same thing from Tua. So I have to admit, my fandom crept in quite a bit with the aspect of my expectations for Tua during this game. I don't know. I had this vision of him coming in and lighting things up. And it was the very opposite of that. But, you know, the one thing that we've all said, and I said prior to the game, I said during the game, is like, he's not going to do shit unless the players around him help him, right? Well, the defense did everything to help him, but the skill players around him sucked.
Well, we're going to – I want to really dive into that a little bit about our skill players. But also, I want to say, when we talk about Tua and the unrealistic expectations that most of us Dolphin fans had, that we were going to get Marino walking in and just lighting it up.
Yep.
Okay. He never really had a preseason. I mean, he never had a preseason.
Yeah.
So here he is, his first real action, not even simulated well enough in a preseason.
Yep.
Yeah. And he's walking into a hell of a hornet's nest.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we have to give him some time to develop. And when we talk about the skilled players, I wanted to put that out there, that I think he's also been put in a very difficult situation, you know, behind, just playing without having the time to really develop at all or refine his skill or, you know, to play at that game speed, which, you know, when you're practicing, it's practicing. But when you go out there and those guys are full throttle all the way around, it's a whole different ball game. Bullets are flying everywhere. It's just a total different concept. But, I want to really take a look back. And I think it's fair, before we do that, to take a look back at how Danny did the first game.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Danny walked in a game, and it was like, I believe, game six of the year, 1983. Danny was 22 years old. I think Tua was about 22, right? So they walked in, and I'm looking at how we fared that game. We lost at the end. We missed a field goal, 38-35. Danny passed for 322 yards.
A little bit of a difference there.
Yeah. Yeah, 108 quarterback rating. He had three touchdowns, a couple of interceptions. You know, he had a pretty rough day, huh, for the office for your first game. Now, he did very well, but what I really want to point out is, who was he throwing the ball to?
Yeah,
Mark Clayton
mm-hmm.
got two receptions for 53 yards, and by the way, he completed a 48 yard pass that game. So Mark Clayton had actually a higher quarterback rating than Dan Marino. He had a 158, perfect rating of 158.3. Then he had a 108.7. Okay. He had a 39-yarder. He played great. Mark Duper, seven receptions for 202 yards.
Unreal.
Okay. So why am I mentioning those two guys? Because it's fair to look at what
the skill
our
players,
guys.
Yeah, he had around him versus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What we have now,
Danny never really had a running back,
and we don't have a running back.
Yeah,
so it's kind
but
of
Danny I had think receivers,
and I would tell you Tony Nathan is 100 times better than anything we have. Okay, but however, we're looking at wide receivers. Okay, so people talk about Herbert. Herbert's doing a hell of a job. We're not taking anything away from him, but Herbert walked in. He's got Keaton Allen, who's a top 10 receiver. Mike Williams, who when he's on, he could be a top 10 receiver. And he's got a hell of a tight end in Henry that is 100 times better than Gesicki.
And he had Eckler, who is both a better runner and a better, I don't know, a better pass catcher, but certainly.
And a better runner.
Yeah.
I mean, when he ran the ball, he did very efficient. Now let's look at our Cincinnati Burrow. He has A.J. Green. Okay, he's not the same guy, but
and he didn't have him for most of the first part of the season either.
But he's got Tyler Boyd, who's a top 10 receiver, Higgins, who's coming on like crazy, and Tate. All those receivers basically are better than anything we have. Especially Boyd and Higgins, I think they're better than Parker and William. I'll tell you why. And let's look at our next
talk about the separation stat, because
I'll
that's
tell you
a key
that,
one.
Yeah, we'll get into that real quick. But let's look at our next week's opponent, Murray, who's blowing up his second year. So he didn't have great receivers. He had decent Christian Kirk, Fitzgerald, fantastic, you know, one of the all-time great. They went out and got Hopkins for him, the number one receiver in football right now.
Pretty much.
Okay. Yep. Our receivers, when you look at separation, our receivers is number one and number three in the worst separation in football. Number one and number three, Parker and Williams. I mean, even the touchdown pass he threw, which was, people say it was only whatever, a 5-yard pass, whatever it was. But Tua had to put it in there, and the guy was fouling him, and it was an interference, but he's still typical. There was no separation.
Right.
There was zero separation.
The windows that Fitz had to throw into, and the windows that, you know, Tua's going to have to throw into are either not there or tiny.
Extremely tiny.
Yeah.
And they rated that pass. I don't know all these analytics stuff. I'm getting sick of it myself. But I do like them, but sometimes they're just a little over the top. But when you look at it, they're saying that was the tightest touchdown thrown the entire year. The smallest window.
My one eyeball observation, which is what we like to contribute to the conversations that we have with each other, less on stats, more on what we see, because I don't know, we're professional watchers or something. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's been a long time, obviously. We're old. So, is that he was getting rid of the ball fast, and, you know, example of that throw, that thing was a laser. Okay. It wasn't even a tightrope, it was a laser. It was a fast release, fast bullet, just zipped in there. And if we continue to see stuff like that, we're going to end up being happy. I wish we had, imagine Landry still here.
Would have been
that,
great.
That guy always, you know, he was never much on yak, but he was always open. Always found a way to create separation.
He always got separation. Yeah. He always got separation. I mean, Tua had 4.2 yards per pass. Completed 12 out of 22. It's very pedestrian.
I can only imagine, like, just looking at our own history, like, I remember how, you know, mad at the time and after, based on the results and everything, everyone was with the money that we dumped on Wallace when we picked up Mike Wallace. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But the problem was not Mike Wallace. He was doing exactly what he was good at doing. Getting open and long passes, and we didn't have a quarterback or system that could get the ball to him successfully. If I feel like if we had a guy like that and a guy like Landry now, people from our past that are looked back at as didn't work out in some sense or another, that they would be working out under this.
I think we got a guy on our team right now that needs to get more looks, and his name is Grant.
Yeah, the problem there is his size. You know, these huge corners it makes the windows to him small, right?
Well, no. Because he's, okay, look at Hill. We talk at Hill over in Kansas City. We were talking about yesterday he blew up for, I don't know, 1-2 touchdowns. He's always getting open, and he's got a quarterback that's getting him the ball. One of the things that Tua was known in college, and you and I talked about it way back when we were analyzing these guys, that he threw the most beautiful long ball that I had seen.
Yep.
Great touch, great distance, great everything. And we need to get Grant out there. Now, Grant yesterday was a hero.
He was.
By the way, his, you know what speed he hit returning that punt?
I do not know. Tell me.
He came in at 21.15 miles per hour.
Yeah. When he broke left on that last move and just blew the doors off everyone around him, there was no doubt.
When I saw him get around the wall, the first comment I told you, we were watching the game together, it's like, oh boy, here we go. It looked great. It was just great. You knew that the wall was right there. He had to beat the punter, and that was not even a competition. And he also had a 45-yard return that we did nothing with, but okay. He put us in a great position on a kickoff. In the second half, he blew past everybody.
Yep.
I mean, he had a hell of a game. Now we should be throwing him the ball. We should be sending him and taking the top off the defense.
Yeah.
And that's something, we have a guy that's fast. You say, well, let's get somebody fast. Well, how much faster can you go than 21.15 miles per hour?
Yeah. Parker doesn't run that fast.
No.
And Williams certainly doesn't run that fast.
Hell no.
So
the only guy that could would be Breida, maybe. And that's it. So I'm saying we got to get something like that going for him, for Tua. So maybe it'll soften up that middle of the field for him a little bit. The Parker and William and all that. But the bottom line from all these things that we were just discussing, what is it? Marino had great talent. Herbert has great talent. Boyd has great talent on receivers. Murray has great talent. We do not. We need to go and get next year with our draft. If we're convinced that Tua is our guy, which we have to talk about what Adam Shaver had to say about that, which was kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. But if Tua is our guy, which we all tend to believe that right now, and hopefully he'll keep growing and showing it, mm-hmm. then the first pick, in my opinion, I used to be a defensive end. I'm convinced we need a wide receiver.
Yeah, the defense has shown a lot, both by Scheme and Ogba and mm-hmm. even Sealer and Van Ginkel. And, mm-hmm. you know, stepping up by Scheme, we're getting a pass rush. Mm-hmm. And the players are good enough to generate it. And so, though, I would still love to have that dominant defensive end type in
Me
there.
Me too. Yes.
Because that's just one more thing to turning this into an unbelievable, unstoppable defense, is that you're right. And, you know, all offseason we were talking about we don't have a running game. We're not going to have a running game. And it turned out we don't have a running game. We don't have a running game, you know.
Gaskin fumbling didn't help any.
Yeah. I mean, Gaskin's a backup mm-hmm. on another team.
Even though we turned that, I believe that was that turnover, we turned it into a touchdown. Because then
it was a quick turnaround. Yeah,
our defense turnaround. Yeah, that was crazy. Under normal circumstances, that's the last thing you want to do is turn the ball over that deep any time, but especially that deep in your territory. That's devastating.
Yeah, and our line needs to grow is in run blocking as well. It's not all Gaskin. It's not all Breida going down so quickly. Mm-hmm. It's our offensive line still has a lot of room for growth. Especially in run blocking.
Big time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. But, you know, what we were saying earlier, having three rookies potentially starting for us on our offensive line. I mean, that's, to me, that's exciting. It's scary, like we said also, because, you know, you don't want to get Tua killed out there. But that's not happening. I mean, we are protecting him well enough.
Yeah. Well, we protected Fitz well enough.
Fitz
right?
was protected well enough. But Fitz also, you know, he didn't give a damn. He would throw into those tight windows, and we used to see it all the time and take it for granted. But now that we have a quarterback that's going to be told to throw to the open receivers, that's going to be interesting because mm-hmm. there is no open receivers except the checkdowns once in a blue moon.
So
that's it.
You know, we are down two of our quote-unquote starting receivers this year. Wilson opted out and Hearns opted mm-hmm. out. Do you think that they would have an impact if they were in the game now?
To me, Wilson would, and the slot receiver would. Mm-hmm. Hearns, not so much so, because again, he wasn't a big separation guy anyway. We need an alpha number one receiver. That's I was always been banging on the drum on that. Now mm-hmm. after
Second
watching
half
this
last year, Parker 100%. Looked like it a couple of times this year. Parker looked like it, and he's just he appears and disappears. So is it Scheme? Is it opportunity? Is it Parker?
I don't know. Preston played a lot more. I think he doubled the snaps of Parker. Mm-hmm. Parker has come once again showing that he's somewhat, I guess, injured off and on again. That kind of Parker's back. And we've given him props for playing with it. Mm-hmm. But I just don't see him. I mean, if I tell you Parker, and let's just go down those teams, Parker or Keenan Allen.
Allen.
Parker or Hopkins. Parker or Boyd. Or Parker, I mean, geez, you know?
Yeah.
Or Clayton back in the day. I mean, it's not even close.
Yeah.
So, Parker probably is a decent number two. And Preston Williams, I don't know. I mean, he's
when Parker's healthy. Mm-hmm. When Parker is healthy and he's full on, he's good. He's very good.
Yeah, he is.
But
he is. But would you say he's a number one receiver on your team? I don't know.
If you aggregate all the time he's been with the team, then the answer is no. If you look at his highlights and his potential, and you can see some of the plays that he's made and getting more aggressive, coming back to the ball, owning it, then yes. But
we could say that about Gesicki.
Yeah. Literally, he's had Megatron moments where he just has come back, gone up, and taken a ball that would have been, you know, an interception or something, and he's just like, no, this is my ball, and I'm better than you and bigger than you, and I'm just going to take it. And but we don't,
I'm going to tell you a name. Jefferson, who was picked after our second number one pick in Minnesota, Justin Jefferson. From what I've seen from that kid, I'd rather have him than Parker. And this is a very limited amount of work. He's in a team with a terrible scheme that doesn't pass the ball. They pass the ball less than we did. And they just ran Cook all day. I would rather have that kid right now. I'm just telling you, right now we need a running back. Yes, we need a wide receiver first. And I want to just read Adam's comment. Adam Schaefer, what he put out there yesterday. He said, one factor that contributed to the Miami Dolphins' decision to name the rookie Tua as their starting quarterback was the fact that Miami owns the Houston Texans' first and second round pick in next year's draft.
Yep.
The Dolphins need to know what they have in Tua as they enter the draft.
Yes.
And that's true.
If Tua, for some reason, is not the guy, and somehow the Jets win a game... you know, maybe Sunshine is an option for us. So,
yeah, I mean, Trevor's out there. You know, that we would obviously have if we had that pick. I don't see us getting that pick.
No,
I mean,
me
the Jets
either.
Are so horrific; they're going to get them.
Yeah, they're bottom dwellers, and they're not coming out.
Yeah, and when we play the Jets, I'm going to give you my philosophy of why I think Gase is okay in New York for one more year.
Yeah, I know this is funny, but I.
But not now. I want to focus
we'll
on
it.
What just happened.
Sure.
Yeah, we want to focus on what happened and the positives that we had from yesterday.
Yes, let's look at that. I got all kinds of notes on that.
Okay.
All kinds of players to call out. I mean, I love the scheme move that just had Goff off. You know, everyone kept saying zero blitz. But some of that stuff was just brilliant because you not only did you not know who was coming in, you had essentially a nose tackle stepping back. And not only stepping back, but stepping in front of a slant for, a potential game changer no matter who you're playing. Wilkins got his first career interception.
And intercepting it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, step in front of a Cooper Kupp slant.
There was a couple of times that you and I, we would see that alignment of theirs, you know, with two guys down, five guys standing up. Mm-hmm. And we would go, I wonder who they're sending. And then they would send everybody. And it got to Goff on it because they didn't have enough guys to block. They weren't giving him enough time to pass.
Yep.
It was not until
the third quarter that they started keeping the Max Protect in there.
Mm-hmm. And that killed their check down. And their check down was Cooper Kupp. And we were beating the hell out of that guy. It really was brilliant defense. Who stood out to you the most, Scott, on the defensive side?
That's a tough one because I got props all around. Agba was huge.
Agba, that's my man.
Yeah. When he blasted Goff, he was putting on consistent pressure, and then that was an absolute blast. The one that Van Ginkel picked it up. And I wrote runs 85 yards. I guess it was only 70-something. I was just going based on where the ball at the line of scrimmage was and not where the ball actually got picked up. But, man, that was fun. I thought Van Ginkel was going to, you know, collapse before he crossed the goal line. He looked like he was really huffing and chuffing there. I mean, at that point, my comment was, people, if you had any doubts about this defense, they're now completely washed away because this is
a real defense.
For real defense.
I mean, we shut out the Jets and nobody gave us credit because it's the Jets.
It's the Jets, exactly.
It's the Jets. But, you know, we beat the hell out of the Niners. Totally dominated the Niners.
We did. I mean, we put their starting quarterback back on the bench.
Mm-hmm.
No.
I mean,
and a lot of people said, "Oh, he's just not ready." So
well, nobody was going to be ready for that defense. I mean, Goff looked like the rookie out there sometimes yesterday. I mean, he threw the ball a billion times and
we've said this before, but again, what a difference just having Byron Jones out there makes.
Every single time he's out there, the defense just looks 10 times better.
Totally.
10 times better.
Totally. Yep.
There's
Iggy the rookie to pick on. I mean, when he was out there, the scheme and the quarterback was always eyeballing, where's that guy? You know, we're going to challenge him. And
he wasn't
quite ready for the challenge. So
let's hope he gets ready, because that's a number one pick that we
ton of
scratch our heads.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of times it takes corners time to develop in the first place.
Well, let's do some props to his replacement.
Mm-hmm.
And he Needham came up with 5 solo tackles. He played great. I mean, he defended his tail off.
Mm-hmm.
Baker had 13 total tackles. I mean, the whole team played brilliant. I mean, I think Wilkins had his best game. It's easy to say because of the interception, but I mean, he was all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Sigler again is looking like an animal. You know, he was that one play that he was trying to strip the ball away from the running back, from Henderson.
Yep.
It was great. It was the whole time he was riding him, taking the ball from you. I mean, it was just, he didn't get it, but I mean, just his effort. And the guy that we need to talk about,
Baker hit Goff, Rowe got the interception.
Yes.
Right. Another great defensive combo. I mean, you got to give Baker as much credit as Rowe on that one.
But listen,
it was Baker's hit that caused it.
We talked about it in what, I'm sorry, you were saying.
Yeah. And Rowe took advantage of it. I mean, it was a combination of both of them.
Well, earlier in the year, in one of our podcasts, we talked about who the guys were saying was the hardest hitter.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Roberts.
Right? Right?
Holy.
And Roberts was the guy that everybody was saying. He's the hardest hitter.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think I have seen, Scott, it reminded me of the butt fumble when Vince Wilfork just pushed that offensive lineman of the Jets right into Sanchez. That's what Roberts in essence did. That tight end, he blew up the tight end, and the tight end beat the hell out of the running. It was just classic.
Henderson. Yeah, just blasted.
Henderson. He just blasted him.
It was 1-2 because he went through the lineman, pushed the lineman into him, went through him, and made the tackle. So. And it was a blast.
Well, there was no tackle to make. I mean, the tight end just literally blew up the guy. I mean, it was one of the most dominant plays that I've seen in a football field all year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
in a while.
I had a little bit more expectations for Shaq Lawson when we signed him this year. Mm-hmm. You know, he certainly made himself felt. He had a strip sack, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Van Noy picked it up and carried it. I thought he was going to score a touchdown. I can't believe he didn't get across the line there. But got it down to the 3, and then Gaskin got the run. So,
well, let me ask you this: Lawson was second in our team in quarterback hits. He had 2.
I don't know if you knew this, but our fullback was inactive for the game.
Yeah,
and
we
so
talked
in
about
that situation where we needed the fullback, guess who our fullback was?
Lawson.
No, Christian Wilkins.
You know why? Because he could catch the ball.
Yeah, well,
remember he did it last year.
Absolutely blasted. He knocked a defensive lineman and then plowed through a linebacker.
That's right. That's right.
That he would, touchdown.
And you know, he likes to catch the ball. He likes to do the dance and all that. He's into it. But, you know, Sigler, we got to give Zach Sigler, you know, one more time props. He had 3 quarterback hits. I mean, that whole defense between him and Lawson really playing their tail off. And Ogbah, I mean, Emmanuel Ogbah was just, you know, brilliant. I mean, all those guys had quarterback hits, every single one. I mean, we had 8 quarterback hits as a team, you know? I mean, just really, the defense, hats off to them. They really won the game for us.
Mm-hmm.
But I think before we wrap up, how did you feel, Scott, about as a whole? Do you... confident? Are you a little concerned? Are you saying wait and see, or you know?
I'm saying wait and see. Yeah, because I saw a couple of nice zips and a little bit of that laser arm and some high level of accuracy. And then I felt like our skill players let him down. I mean, Williams dropping those passes, a bunch of dropped stuff out there. And I think coaching somewhat had to do with his lack of opportunity. But overall, I mean, I was like, this is a work in progress. And I reset my expectation, and my expectation now is just to see some improvement every week.
And that's what we said about our team last year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we got.
It is.
So let's hope we get the same results with Tua. But I want to say this. When we played the Jets.
I believe in this coaching staff.
Mm-hmm. I do too. And I think that that's the whole thing, that the coaching staff made this decision in what's best for our team, what's best for the Miami Dolphins, not what's best for Tua or what's best for the fans or your fantasy team or whatever the hell. they were looking at this. What's the best for the Dolphins? What's the best? We need to know what we have in Tua. I mean, notice that we never did this with Rosen. I mean, very rare. I mean, we put him in there for a little bit. I get the hell out. I think we're going to be more patient with him. But as fans, we need to look at one aspect. And again, the receivers. He doesn't have the weapons.
Mm-hmm.
It's Tua's going to have to show. Tua shows us growth with this cast of support. Imagine once he gets those weapons around him, like he had in Alabama, where he was what, the greatest completion rate in the history of college football.
Right. Yep.
Yeah, that's what we have as a quarterback: tremendous accuracy, intelligent leader, and first thing he
good
said,
good character.
Yesterday,
mm-hmm. I love that. I mean, that speaks, you know, just knowing that not only do you have a leader with a high level, high skill set, enormous potential, you know, superstar potential, and also a really good person.
Great person, great family guy. And after the game, he said something to this, like, I'm paraphrasing, something like, you know, I'm proud of what we did. But I do know that there's something like there's a lot of things that we need to work on, that we need to correct.
Yep.
And so he immediately was critical, positive right off the bat, and then saying, you know, hey, we need to get things that we need to improve on. And that's a sign of a great leader. And I think that's what we have in Tua. So overall, I did not expect this game. You know, my expectations for the game, now that it's over, I'll tell you, I thought it was going to be a couple of hundred yards passing, hopefully one interception.
And a couple of touchdowns.
Yeah. So we fell a little bit short of that, but the game script, let's not forget, the game script did not allow Tua to really put anything on his shoulders.
Nope.
Because, you know, so overall, I'm happy. I'm really happy with our defense. I'm super happy with our coaching staff.
Yeah.
And I think that our talking about our offensive coach.
Don't keep in mind, this could have been even worse of a beatdown, because Rowe dropped a pick six.
Mm-hmm.
He stepped in front of that ball. He had the ball. There was nobody in front of him. That was a pick six that he dropped.
And I want people to keep in mind.
And Howard dropped. He would have had five interceptions, five games in a row, but he had one go right through his hands as well.
Right through his hands.
That would have been two more turnovers.
But look.
At least one of them leading to another 6 points.
But when you look back, right, and you look back and you say, where were we before? Mm-hmm. We had 7 3-and-outs. 7 3-and-out against the Jets.
Yeah.
Okay? So it's not like our offense was humming that much anyway.
No.
Okay? So
All the people standing up and saying, you know, Fitz shouldn't have lost this job, is there's plenty of evidence to, you know, where he's been bad Fitz.
Mm-hmm.
Where we have the potential of having someone that doesn't have the bad side.
And we need to know where we are, what the future has for Miami. So
it will affect our draft, just like you said.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we have to look at next week's game, by the way, and not to scare anything off, but it was the bye week for Arizona, and they had a couple of COVID cases that they reported.
Oh.
So there is a chance that there's going to be some issues there. The coach says that he doesn't believe there is, but that's what, you know, that's coaches tend to be like you and I. They're always looking at moving forward, right?
Staying positive, looking at the next game, and holding back information that would give anyone else an advantage. Yes.
But I think we're going to face a quarterback that is on fire. Mm-hmm. And we're going to face a guy that has weapons around him. Yeah. So I want people to keep in mind that their seconds.
It's going to be a different scheme defensively. And this is what I was going to say. We're low on time for getting this one out. But the same zero blitz scheme is not going to be effective against a mobile quarterback. Right? No. Goff was a pocket guy who needed that pocket in order to perform, needed a little bit of time, needed to know where, you know, be able to call his protections and stuff and make the, and couldn't do it against this defense. So how is this defense going to look against a traditional weakness of us, a mobile quarterback?
I'll tell you how this, that we're going to win this game. It's going to come down to one guy, Jones. And my, well, it's a team effort, but Jones is a big key, because if he can go and shadow Hopkins and really shut him down, Miami has a strong chance of winning this game. Even with all their weapons, I think that that's going to give us a tremendous advantage. So let's see what happens. I know we're going to come in with a different scheme for these guys. I do
expect to see more from Tua in the next game. This is not the same defense that we just faced.
It's inevitable. If he doesn't show us more, we have no chance of even competing in this game. Mm-hmm. Because you know that, that Arizona is going to put points on the board. They're at home. Yep. The game is here. Another game that you and I wanted to was in our circle games that we would possibly attend. We've done it in the past.
Yep.
We've been in Arizona for a game, and great crowd, great people out there in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
But let's see. I mean, I think it's going to be a rough game. Early on, I didn't see us winning. I think with the way our defense is playing, and if Tua shows up, we have a good chance of winning this game.
Yes, I think we do too.
So it's exciting times, buddy. It's exciting. This is great to see us. So let's end it with this on the record. Are we winning or losing against Arizona?
I picked a loss at the beginning of the season. I'm still picking a loss.
You know what? I'm going to go against you. I'm going to not to go against you, but I think that we're going to win this game.
Well, I hope
I think
we
it'll
do.
Be to us.
I
it'll
think
be
we
to
have
us
a
coming
shot.
Out party.
Yep. I think we have a good, I think we have a reasonable shot at it. So.
Well, there we go.
All right. Thanks,
all
man.
Right. Bless you, man. It's a lot of fun getting together for the game. Great doing this podcast. This is really the most exciting time the Dolphins have had in a long time, man. As a team, this is really good. Let's hope.
All of us old guys are looking forward to every game now.
Oh, fantastic. It's exciting.
Right. All right, go Dolphins.
Go Dolphins.
Two Old Dolphins podcast is proud to be a member of the Dolphins Talk Podcast Network. In addition to our website at twooldolfans.com, iTunes, Spotify, and Google Play, we can also be found at dolphinstalk.com. You can reach out to us through our website and email address that's there, or find us on Twitter where we're very active. We have an Instagram account that we post to occasionally, and a Facebook page. We now have a YouTube channel. Please go there, like our videos, and smash that subscribe button. Our podcast contains the music of two bands. We'd like to thank the original Tartanic drum and bagpipe champions. You can find their music and more at tartanic.net. A huge shout out to Rick DeJesus and the boys of Adelita's Way. Can't thank them enough for allowing us to use their kick-ass rock in our podcast. You can find them everywhere, Amazon, Apple, Facebook, Spotify. And make sure to catch them when they're touring, because they are the best.
Thank you for listening to Two Old Dolphins. Join us next week for more news, analysis, and old guy stories. Good night.
Go Dolphins!